part of the show that you've been waiting for. We are now joined by our featured guest this week, acting legend. We loved him on St. Elsewhere. We love him on everything he does, actor Ed Begley Jr. Ed, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm great, Tim. How are you?
Really good. Really good. Now, this is a talk radio show. We're on AM Talk Radio. I want to rip something out of the headlines and ask you about it. This morning, Hawaii, did you read about that? There was some sort of false alarm that went on yesterday morning, and we thought we were under attack.
Pushed the wrong button.
By the
wrong
North button. Koreans. Did you see that, Ed?
I did. Some guys, they were testing the system, and it was just one person. They've change the rules. Now they're going to have two people do it. A problem of it going wrong. And they were supposed to go, is this a real event? Yes or no? We're supposed to hit no because it's just a test. And
right.
Yes by accident.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And they've now figured out a way to take it back without it taking 45 minutes.
Because it took 45
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, they couldn't just say it was false alarm.
It's just
said 38, but maybe
38. Right, 38. A long time.
That's a long time to think that a nuclear war.
It's a long time to be hiding in my basement.
People were lowering their children down into manholes. They got manhole covers up somehow. They were lowering their kids down and themselves down into manholes, hoping to survive a nuclear attack.
Wow.
It's just terrifying.
You do what you can, but it shows that. I mean, we live in crazy times now. We're living in really, really crazy times now.
In other times, fairly recent past, you'd think, okay, well, that's obviously a mistake. Nothing's going now with all the rhetoric about South Korea, North Korea, and all the problems that are going on there in the Korean Peninsula. You know, it's very possible that something like this could happen. So people understandably thought it was real right away. They didn't question it. So they've got to have a better system.
Yeah, I'm sure Kim Jong-un feels very encouraged that we take it so seriously. Like, hey, he can really do it.
Now, I've got to ask. I've got to ask you, Ed. You've done so much, and you do so much. You're a hardworking actor. You're showing up on movie screens and TV screens all the time. But I want to talk to you, and we love what you do. We want to talk to you about this great play that you're doing, play reading that you're doing here in Los Angeles. What can you tell us about this?
It's being put together by the Fountain Theater, the city of L.A. It's going to be All the President's Men, this wonderful William Goldman script.
Great film. Great film.
Yeah, great film, directed by Stephen Sachs, this reading. And it's going to be Bradley Whitford, myself, Richard Schiff, Josh Molina, Jeff Perry, and Joe Morton. And it's going to be at City Hall on January 27th. January 27th at 7:30 p.m. And it's all free.
And will you be playing one of those well-loved characters from the Nixon White House?
Howard Simons. I'm with the paper, I think. I'm sick of the managing
okay.
of the Post, and so that's my part.
All right.
Now, what's the relevance? Explain it to our listeners. Many of them are young. Many of them might not have seen All the President's Men and know what it's about. Can you give them a thumbnail sketch and then let them know why it's relevant now?
Well, first of all, I'll take the last part first.
Sure.
It's relevant now because the press seems to be under great attack. Now, seems to be they're definitely under great attack for, you know, journalism, basically. And so people are questioning journalists and questioning very well-established papers. When people get things wrong at the Washington Post or at the LA Times or the New York Times, it's been my experience, people are fired or let go. When Dan Rather got that story wrong years ago.
Yep, right.
You know, he's been in CBS for years. He very soon thereafter left CBS. So people don't get things wrong without there being a major attraction or what have you, and heads will roll if
right.
things are really wrong. But now everybody's saying it's fake news and it's not real what people are saying. And I have a great deal of trust in good, sound journalism, and that needs to be protected. So we're doing this to raise awareness about the First Amendment. And so it's going to be a great event on the 27th at City Hall. And I'm not sure if there's any tickets left. I know there's a lottery system for some tickets, but we'll all be there. It'll be at the John Farrow Council right. Chamber. That's room 340, LA City Hall. That's 200 North Spring Street, LA, California.
It's great that we've got all this artistic talent in Hollywood, people in the industry, and to go out and do something like that really for the public good. Now I got to ask you, how hard is it from like a legal rights point of view? I don't know if you had any visibility in that. You must have had to get tons of sign-offs, not you personally, but the team behind this. You got to go where to the studio to William Goldman. You got to go to lots of people. But I guess what everyone just lined up and said, yeah, let's do this. Do you know if it was easy or hard to get something like this set up?
Well, we have the Los Angeles Press Club behind us to put this together, and Society of Professional Journalists is, there's a donations that will be accepted, but there's no cost at the door.
Right.
If people want to donate, they certainly can, but I think it's Warner Brothers that owns rights to that, and so they were very kind to allow us to do this, and, with a bunch of wonderful West Wing actors, as I mentioned before.
Absolutely. Right?
And it was a great movie. It's a great script by William Goldman, and so we'll have a reading of that and have a wonderful night together, and then a reception afterwards, and, I invite people to come and certainly to support the Fountain Theater. It's a great theater. They've been doing great plays for quite a while.
No, we're big fans. Big fans of the Fountain Theater here. Now, just to give a thumbnail sketch for our listeners. So All the President's Men is set in Nixon's Watergate.
Yes.
Nixon's Watergate. And it's the two reporters.
Woodward and Bernstein.
Absolutely. Played by?
Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman.
And the original.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Correct.
And they pursue this story, and it's something that they keep pulling the string, and they keep pulling the string, and the sweater, the yarn,
Boy, and Jason Robards is Ben Bradley.
Oh, just tearing up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a break-in that happened at the Watergate Hotel, and it just seemed like a very puzzling kind of situation, what have you, with why these people broke in there. They couldn't quite figure out why they were breaking in, and then they found out through... investigative reporting that there was a tremendous amount of money in the bank accounts just transferred into the bank accounts of several of these Watergate burglars. And so the rule is follow the money.
Absolutely.
Hal Holbrook.
Where I first heard it back then when I saw that movie and when I learned about the case, the Watergate break-in and their sound reporting of Woodward and Bernstein was to follow the money. And they did just that. And they then soon uncovered that they had a little bit of help from somebody called Deep Throat.
Right.
Yeah. A character they nicknamed Deep Throat. And that person was later revealed to be... was that Jill Morton? I can't remember.
It was F. Mark Felt. He was the deputy director of the FBI.
Yeah. Right.
Hal Holbrook in the movie.
Yeah, now it's a compelling story in the film, and the parallels now I think a lot of people would draw them themselves, relatively easy. The point I'll make is that and you made the point greatly, Ed. The break-in was kind of foolish.
The break-in was kind of really stupid. They broke in
stupid.
And they were trying to bug the phones, and the bug didn't work. They broke in again,
right?
And got caught on the second.
And where were they breaking into?
The Democratic National Party headquarters in the Watergate complex in Washington.
Right.
And it was so odd because Nixon was so far ahead in the polls, they really didn't need to be doing
right.
This. It was overkill.
They were campaigning against McGovern for crying out loud. They won every state but Minnesota.
And now we're looking at a situation where many would say our president might be doing some foolish things, some hot-headed things, some inappropriate things, unnecessarily taking risks, unnecessarily being provocative.
Yeah, they're not being hidden, though. They're like wide open on the screen.
Well, that's the issue. In the world of social media and Twitter and have not, are there secrets to find? There must be. There are always secrets. I think there are. Now I've got to ask you, Ed. We've just finished, obviously, the Golden Globes season. A lot of people are talking about a potential presidential run by Oprah Winfrey. Do you care to comment, Ed, on what you think her chances would be? Not that you have to give a recommendation or anything else. Do you think she could get a nomination? Do you think she has it in her to run?
I don't know if she'll want to run. She's a highly respected person. I respect her a great deal, and I'm sure she'd do a terrific job, but I think people may want to have just more normal politicians at this point. I don't know if we want any more celebrities in high positions like that. That would be my guess.
Maybe it's just a good old-fashioned...
I'd vote for in a minute.
Yeah, I think maybe the celebrity vote is...
we've been there, done
rest
that.
For a while.
Maybe just a cycle.
I have a question. Now, you're very well-known and respected as an actor, but also as an environmental activist. Looking around at what's going on in the world, how are we doing?
Well, we made great progress, and now we're sadly pushing back. Keep in mind, these were bipartisan efforts that gave us the cleaner air we have in L.A.
Right.
You guys probably know, from 1970, when I started this path, when I bought my first electric car in 1970, and I started to really call myself an environmentalist, the air is not the same. It's not dirtier.
Oh, you had to chew the air back then.
Much, much cleaner. We have four times the cars since 1970, millions more people yet we have a fraction of the smog. We still have a lot of work to do at the ports of LA and Long Beach. There's a lot of pollution there and other trucking centers and shipping centers and near the freeway interchanges, near the freeways. People are getting a lot of pollution in that close proximity. So we have to help those people and still clean up those areas. But overall, we've come a long, long way with all this new population that's moved in, proving that we can do it. The ozone hole is not the same size. It's not bigger. It's smaller because we eliminated CFCs. The Hudson River is not the polluted waterway it was. It's much, much cleaner. We did all that. The Cuyahoga River caught fire in 1969.
Yes, it did. I remember that.
So rivers don't catch fire anymore. Keep in mind, the Clean Water Act was signed by Richard Nixon, reluctantly. The Clean Air Act was signed on the first go-around, not reluctantly, by Richard Nixon, a Republican.
Yeah, so we could compromise on things back then.
There was a time when the Republican Party, back to Theodore Roosevelt, was a real leader on environmental issues. You take a character of the Democratic Party as the creature of labor unions. Labor unions didn't want their contributions to pay for that. So I think that it's great to be able to see, when you read through history, politicians not just doing party line things, being able to do things across a wider spectrum. I want to thank you so much, Ed Begley Jr., for being part of The Bigger Picture. I'm going to recommend that everyone out there goes and sees this great reading of All the President's Men. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Tim, thank you so much for having me.
Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a very short commercial.